A few weeks ago, we had our annual convocation of all the priests of the Archdiocese of Denver. It's a few days gathered together for prayer together, for a bit of rest, as well as there's a speaker that comes as well. We had a great priest from Washington give talks to us, Father Carter Griffin. And on the last day of the convocation was a very exciting kind of climax to it all. We had a final talk at 11 o'clock, and at this point the conclave was happening. And Father Carter begins his 11 o'clock talk, and almost immediately, you know, somebody's like, white smoke, you know. And so everybody's starting to look at their phones, or what do we do? And Father Griffin's like, how do I compete with this, you know, And Archbishop was like, oh, it'll take him an hour to get to the balcony. So go ahead and keep talking, Father. And so he kind of kept giving his talk as everybody's just really kind of looking at their phones. But when he was finished, he kind of concluded early. We had these large screens. And I remember just the large screens, they patched it over to kind of live to St. Peter's Basilica, to the Vatican. And it was so awesome down these big screens with all these priests, over 100 priests gathered together, you know, from our archdiocese to see then this Pope Leo XIV, you know, come out on the balcony. And his first words, La pace sia con tutti voi, you know, the peace be with you all. You know, really drawing from that greeting that Jesus, the risen Lord, gives to his apostles and gives to his church always. And so it was a moment of just great sublimity and glory, and this moment of, wow, and like, there's an American up there, just unbelievable. My prediction had been maybe in 500 years, so I was slightly off on my timing for that. So there's this, on one side, this great glory, this moment of the church and glory and all the world, you know, staring fixed upon this balcony. And then also, maybe just in contrast to that, I saw a recent video put out by the Associated Press where the day of his election, they were interviewing his brother John, you know, and kind of talking with him. And you know, the phone had been kind of ringing a lot, and John was ignoring the phone calls. And then he heard on his iPad this tone of an incoming internet call. And I was like, you know, my brother actually calls me on that one. And when he pulled out the iPad, he noticed that he had missed three calls from his brother, you know, that morning while he was doing this interview. So he calls him back right there with AP and you know, the connection is made. And then you hear Pope Leo saying, John, why didn't you answer your phone? You know, and it was just... it was just kind of a delightful kind of human moment, you know, between these two brothers, and the AP kind of then like didn't record all their conversation. But I just put these two things together of kind of this glorious moment of the church and also this very human moment of the church as well between two brothers, one of whom happens to be the Pope. I think in our readings we see the same kind of contrast of the kind of the glory and the humanity that is there in the church. And in our first reading, you know, we have what's called the Council of Jerusalem, this gathering of the apostles, the elders, the presbyters, the church to handle this question, because there's a great debate, really a very vigorous disagreement about what do we do with the Gentiles who want to become Christians. You know, some had argued, well, as we heard, first, you know, you must be circumcised, you must become Jewish, and then you can become a Christian. But their conclusion instead was that no, Christ's mission, his offer of salvation, this new covenant is extended to all and for all in who they are. And so Gentiles can directly become Christians, you know, by faith, by baptism. They do not have to become Jewish first. And so we have in this first reading, you know, this moment, this important moment in church history that is so important for all of us, at least most of us who are Gentiles but Christians, and with the Pope's election, we see the world universal nature of the church itself. But we have these kind of human elements on display there. Nevertheless, as the letter says, it is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us. You know, so the Holy Spirit is nevertheless at work in that human dimension. And then if you go to our second reading, it's towards the very end of the book of Revelation, after all the strife, after all the battle between good and evil, we have in this presentation of the church in glory, the church as the holy city, Jerusalem. And it describes this beautiful reality. The church, the holy city, Jerusalem, gleams with the splendor of God. Its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The glory of God gave it light, and its lamp was the Lamb. So there's this glorious kind of supernatural reality. Nevertheless, even in that vision, there's still in the very structure of the church of the New Jerusalem is inscribed the reality of the 12 tribes of Israelites, as well as the 12 apostles. And so this human element is always there, and God welcomes that and brings that into his glory. In our gospel today, we have these important words from Jesus, many, but in it we have Jesus saying, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." And so there is this gift of peace, but I think, and I would say that genuine peace requires both that sublime working of God's grace as well as human effort and human conversion. And that's something that actually Pope Leo was getting at in a talk that he gave back on May 16th. He addressed what's known as the diplomatic corps, all the diplomatic representatives from different countries that are sent as representatives to Holy See, to that kind of combined diplomatic corps. He was giving an address to all of them, and he spoke about peace because that is such an important focus that Pope Leo wants to have. And in his address, he spoke about really those two realities of human effort as well as the working of God's grace for peace. And so I just want to briefly share a few of his thoughts, a few of his words even from that address that I think are applicable not only for peace on the level of society, but also for interpersonal relationships and also within. And it comes back to that both human effort and God's grace that is needed. The first thing that Pope Leo mentions is that he says peace is first and foremost a gift. It is the first gift of Christ. "My peace I give to you," quoting right from our gospel today. And so peace is something that requires God's grace. You know, and it's something that starts with God's initiative, and he gives us the capacity for peace. But then Pope Leo points to that other side, that human side. He says, "Yet peace is an active and demanding gift. It engages and challenges each of us, demanding first of all that we work on ourselves. Peace is built in the heart and from the heart by eliminating pride and vindictiveness." And so we have peace. Peace is not just simply like something that kind of happens, you know, by accident, by happenstance. No, peace is something given as a gift by God and something that requires our work, our choice, our engagement. And then the second thing I'd point out from Pope Leo's address is he talks about that there needs to be a climate of peace. How do we create a climate in which peace is possible? And first of all, he says that naturally requires full respect for religious freedom in every country. Since religious experience is an essential dimension to the human person, without that greater transcendent reality, it is difficult, if not impossible, to bring about the purification of the heart necessary for building peaceful relationships. The world gives peace through simply contracts, quid pro quo, or you leave me alone, I leave you alone, these kinds of realities. But when God gives peace and the peace he wants to give, it draws us into his peace. It draws us into this deep conversion. And so that's why it's so important that we keep and we have religion at the very heart of our society, not as simply a hobby for someone, or that's kind of what you're into, I'm into the mountains or something like that, because we need that transcendent reality and transcendent good to help orient us and to have that conversion of heart that is necessary for peace. And so that's an important role we play as Christians, to keep pointing to that higher good, that one who can actually heal our hearts for the peace that we want and that we need. And then along with that climate, within that climate, he says, working for peace requires acting justly. You know, and so what is justice? Well, justice is this disposition, it's a willingness, it's an attitude to readily give others their due. You know, to do that easily, not begrudgingly, not fine, I'll listen to you also, or oh, you might have a point, or I guess you get to choose cereal sometimes too, or whatever it is, you know, but you know, to have peace, there needs to be that virtue of justice within us, of really giving others their due, that you exist, you matter, and you have a claim on reality just as I do. And we can see that, of course, on the level of society, and especially our insistence on human dignity and protecting life, you know, from conception to natural death. But also, I think we have to look simply at ourselves. Am I kind of hard on somebody? Do I discount somebody in my life? Do I maybe not give them their due that God is working in their life as well? And so justice is something very much at the individual level as well. And then a final part of that climate for peace that Pope Leo mentions is this. He says, peaceful civil societies can be achieved above all by investing in the family. Investing in the family founded upon the stable union between a man and a woman. And then he quotes Pope Leo XIII. This family is a small but genuine society and prior to all civil society. And so peaceful societies, to have a climate of peace, need to have healthy and good and stable families. You know, and he points to that reality that a family is based on that stable union of man and woman, of husband and wife. And that's just the reality. And we see in our first reading from the Council of Jerusalem, the apostles themselves, what is one of the things they were most concerned to impress upon these Gentiles who want to become Christians, you know, to have a valid marriage, to have a marriage according to God's plan. And that's been a concern of the church from the very beginning until today. And so it's important for us to stand for that, but also then to help families to have that stable union. There are many challenges against family, from its redefinition to all the temptations in the world today, to the oppressive busyness that the world lures us into, all of these things. And unfortunately, we can see, you know, broken families begetting broken families. And so that's another area, if we want real peace, you know, to work on having strong and healthy and flourishing families. And that's really a work for all of us. And then the final thing, along with peace as a gift that is a demanding gift, along with how do I create that climate of peace with religious freedom and with acting justly and investing in the family, he mentions truth. Truly peaceful relationships cannot be built also within the international community apart from truth. We need truth to be able to have truly peaceful relationships. For her part, the church can never be exempted from speaking the truth about humanity and the world. And so that's an important thing. And he says, yet truth can never be separated from charity, which always has its roots in a concern for the life and well-being of every man and woman. You know, how often, you know, do we see in our communication today, you know, truth conveyed without charity, you know, and truth conveyed with a disregard for the recipient, you know, because they get blasted on X, or, you know, look at this post where somebody gets blown up about this point or something like that. And truth becomes this kind of food fight reality. It becomes a property of tribalism and things like that. And Pope Leo, and I believe the Holy Spirit, calls us to a greater and higher regard for the truth, even as we insist upon it. And that truth that is not simply my truth or your truth, but the truth that comes from God. Because it's not simply the truth that comes from God. Pope Leo says, furthermore, from the Christian perspective, truth is not the affirmation of an abstract or a disembodied principles, but it's an encounter with the person of Christ himself. There is an absolute truth because ultimately the truth is the person of Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so in the end, in our presenting truth, in our standing up for truth, you know, there's a deep unity with Christ, and so we need to take on the ways of Christ in presenting the truth, even as we have to stand for it sometimes in uncomfortable ways. And so in the end, we return again to that unity of human effort and divine grace that we've seen, you know, throughout the readings. May we each ponder not simply how peace needs to be established on an international level or a national level or societal level, but also for myself and in my own relationships. Am I creating that climate of peace? Am I doing the demanding work of the gift of peace? And am I standing in the truth and scrutinizing myself and asking the Lord Jesus to help me in that? Good things for all of us to ponder. And as St. Paul wishes the Colossians in 3:15, so too for us. May the peace of Christ reign in your hearts.